Oh, hey, Laurel. How's it going? Long time no see.
Hey, yeah, no kidding. Crazy week, right?
Yeah, man, I'll say. Where's Sean?
I don't know. I haven't seen him.
He should be here by now.
Oh, hey, guys.
Whoa.
Sean, where are you, buddy? What's going on?
Oh, hey, you can't see me because I'm actually at the WPR studios in La Crosse today.
Oh, wow. What are you doing there?
Oh, so I'm up here for some forums that we're holding talking about politics, but through the magic of broadcast technology, I can join you with my voice.
Cool, man. So how are things going?
Not so great. I've been having these work stress dreams.
Stress dreams?
Yeah, you kind of like you kind of take work home with you. You start thinking about it, and pretty soon you start dreaming about campaigns. Like I've been dreaming about 2010. Like it was 2010 again.
2010. What happened in 2010?
Oh man, it was crazy. There was this really high-profile election between Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson for U.S. Senate. And Russ Feingold would say, "Ron Johnson's going to cut your Social Security." And Ron Johnson would say, "Russ Feingold's a career politician." And it went back and forth and back and forth.
Oh,
It's like,
man.
Oh, that's rough, dude. But
yeah.
I hate to break it to you, but it's 2016, and that's not a dream. It's happening right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The 2016 rematch between Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson for U.S. Senate.
This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Laurel White.
And I'm Sean Johnson.
Let's talk about the rematch.
Let's talk about it.
So let's talk about the rematch.
All right, so 2016, we have Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson back at it again. Johnson beat Feingold in the 2010 Tea Party Wave election. So what's going on? How's this race shaping up, guys?
Well, this is a really interesting race. I wasn't around the last time around.
You weren't born yet?
I wasn't in existence. I wasn't born into the world of Wisconsin politics, so was I really born at all? But
no.
I think an interesting difference this time is that Feingold has led pretty consistently in the polls. Now we're within the margin of error, actually. But I think last time, and Sean, you might be able to weigh in on this, it was a little bit more back and forth, right? Like there were times when Johnson was leading in the polls?
Last time, Ron Johnson was leading in the polls pretty consistently, actually.
Mm-hmm.
When they started out the year, Johnson wasn't even one of the Republican candidates who was running. Feingold kind of had the other guys dead to rights, actually. He had some pretty good opposition research on them. It was looking pretty good for him. And then Ron Johnson emerges at the state Republican convention in 2010 and starts to run basically bombard the state with ads. He's out there calling Russ Feingold a career politician, a message that worked in 2010 for sure. And Russ Feingold could never really solve that. He was running from behind. And so it was looking like he was going to lose for a while. And that's what happened.
Well, that's sort of the perfect storm for, I think, 2010. Ron Johnson shows up. He wasn't part of the scene, kind of makes this dramatic appearance.
Everybody's like, who's this plastics guy?
Yeah, right. Who's this successful businessman who's come out of nowhere? That is the ultimate outsider story and fits so well into the narrative of 2010. So he's sort of, in a way, the poster child of that year, potentially.
But now 6 years later, with Ron Johnson having been in the Senate for six full years, he's still sort of running as the outsider candidate, even though he's the incumbent.
He's absolutely running as the outsider candidate and really not even alluding to the fact that he's been in the Senate for the last 5 years. He's still talking about himself as a manufacturer, still talking about Feingold, who's been out of politics for the last 6 years as a career politician. So this is the explanation behind my work stress dreams. It just feels very familiar, very similar to the 2010 campaign. I think the big difference, aside from 2010 being, one of those historic elections, it was a big Tea Party wave. 2010 was also a midterm election, and turnout in Wisconsin, turnout all over the place, but turnout patterns in Wisconsin especially are much different between a midterm election and a presidential election. In a presidential election, a lot more people come out to vote. a lot more Democrats coming out to vote. That higher turnout favors Democrats in a big way. And so actually, if you look back at Russ Feingold's career, he's done better in the presidential elections than he has in the midterms. He actually ran. He was
he won in a presidential year, right?
In 92. So, yes. Yeah. And then 98, his first reelection bid, he nearly lost to Republican Mark Newman. And that was a midterm election. And you go back to 2004, presidential election, he won pretty handily over Tim Michels. But then in 2010, a midterm, there was a definite throw the bums out attitude in the country, and he couldn't survive that. So he's in much more favorable turf this time with presidential turnout. Although, the race feels close, but every poll we've seen has shown Feingold leading Johnson, although the most recent polls have the margins much narrower.
As people sort of tune into the election more?
I think so. I mean, the argument that the Johnson campaign would make is that they've found some narratives that work, that they're going after Feingold's strengths. You know, he was known for the McCain-Feingold Act. Campaign finance reform was his signature issue. He promised in his first campaign that he, you know, would raise most of his money in state. You know, we know now that McCain-Feingold has basically been obliterated by the Supreme Court, and the campaign finance makeup is much different than it used to be. Feingold's raising more money from out of state now, and so the Johnson campaign says we're going to hammer him on that. He's not the same Russ Feingold. In a way, it's similar to what Tammy Baldwin did against Tommy Thompson in the last U.S. Senate race, saying he's not the same guy you knew back when you liked him.
Yeah.
But you know, bottom line, probably as you get closer to the election, more people tuned in. This thing was always destined to be a tighter race than it was early on when Russ Feingold was way up.
And I think it's also important to note that there's an awful lot of ad spending happening right now. A lot of money has flooded into this race in the past couple weeks. And one of the big changes that we saw in the poll numbers for Johnson in this last poll, where he kind of crept up on Feingold and got within the margin of error, is this measure of people who say, does a politician care about me, the issues that I face, you know, me as a person. And I think Johnson jumped like something like 10 points from the previous Marquette poll in the number of people who thought that they, that Johnson empathized with someone like them, that cared about someone like them. And I think we can really kind of tie that right back into the ad spending that's been going on over the past few weeks, because a lot of the ads were very positive ads. They were sort of character building ads for Johnson, showing him helping a family adopt a child. No, it was like, it was about B. Ron Johnson.
I'm thinking of the diaper ad.
Oh, yes, the infamous diaper ad in my feature story, if you've heard it.
He promises to clean up Washington, and then it shows him changing his grandson's diaper with some simulated or maybe not so much urine shown in the ad.
Are you suggesting that was real pee in that ad?
I'm just saying we need to fact check that. There's no way to verify it. And then he takes like the 3-point shot from across the kitchen with the dirty diaper into the trash can.
But that's exactly what, you know.
It didn't sound
obviously get your attention,
that's
right?
That's accomplished what they wanted it to. People are thinking, Ron Johnson's a grandpa, just
in that story you did this week where you were talking about Ron Johnson's sort of like unusually high number of people who don't really know enough about him to make a decision. Mm-hmm. But like one of the first people you talked to said, well, I saw him throwing that diaper in that ad. I know he's a grandpa.
Yeah. So basically, I reprised what I did a couple weeks ago going to the bar during the Packers game. And I went to the Dane County Farmers Market last weekend and talked to people, just sort of did the Jay Leno style walk up and, hey, can I ask you a couple questions? What do you know about the U.S. Senate race? Who's running? Tell me about the candidates, that kind of thing. Ruining people's Saturday mornings by making them talk about politics again. But yeah, one of the first people I spoke with said, oh, well, you know, I don't really know too much, but I know he's a grandpa because of that ad. So,
Have you gotten any sense of why he seems to be more unknown than a lot of incumbent senators traditionally are in a state. Even Tammy Baldwin, who's been in the Senate 2 years less than him, has higher awareness numbers than Johnson does.
I think that's a really hard thing to put to quantify exactly, to say this is definitely why maybe people don't know him as well. I mean, we have the numbers that prove that. We know that Feingold, for example, has had about 6 or 7 points on Johnson in terms of name recognition for the past 3 months of the Marquette poll. So we know Feingold's more well-known than Johnson, according to that poll. I spoke to poll director Charles Franklin, and he said, Johnson.
The awesome Marquette poll.
Yes, of the wonderful Marquette poll that we love so much here on the WPR Politics Podcast. But I talked to Charles. I got to go to his home, actually, and chat with Charles. It was great. And we talked about those numbers. And he said, you know, Johnson also does trail Tammy Baldwin, who's been a senator for 4 years. Of course, she was in the House before that. But Johnson has about 5 to 10 points less name recognition than Baldwin does, too. So those numbers are there. We know that that's the case. Why? Getting back to the question that you asked me, well, I asked some people at the farmer's market, why do you think you don't know him? Some responses from them, they said, you know, we don't really feel like he's been traveling the state very much. I had one guy tell me, you know, I've met Russ Feingold, I've talked to Russ Feingold, I shook his hand. I've never had the opportunity to do that with Ron Johnson. So I think, you know, that's an element that people brought up. I talked to a political science professor about that, too. But I think it's really important to note that, you know, we asked Ron Johnson as well, and he said, no, I have spent a lot of time traveling the state. I've done that a lot. I think he said something like 180,000 miles or something that he's driven himself in his van to meet with people around
Wisconsin.
But maybe
he's just not known for being that sort of stereotypical retail politician who's always out there shaking hands and
pounding,
you know,
the pavement,
remembers everybody's first name, every person he's ever met.
Right. And, well, and I feel like in a way that does kind of play into Ron Johnson's narrative as well. Because when I talked to that political scientist about this whole phenomenon, he said, you know, Ron Johnson really isn't, he's not a political celebrity. He doesn't, he hasn't done the things to make himself a very well-known sort of celebrity political figure. And I think Johnson really would embrace that potentially, because he does say, you know, I'm not a career politician. I'm a Washington outsider. So maybe those things can kind of coexist in a way.
And that's compared to Russ Feingold, who is, you know, as Ron Johnson doesn't hesitate to point out, sort of the consummate career politician. But Sean, you did some writing this week about how Russ Feingold sort of came of age onto the political scene when that wasn't looked at as so much of a bad thing.
No, I mean, it was seen as a career in public service, as an honorable thing. That's the way he viewed it growing up. You know, they talked politics, his family talked politics around the dinner table. He knew when he was very young that he admired John F. Kennedy. There was a found tape, thanks to Wisconsin Public TV, of Feingold's third grade teacher saying that they had, all her class had
nice
to
plug in there,
do,
by the way.
Do a writing. Well, you know what? When they help us find audio, happy to plug Public TV. That because they, you know, everybody in class had to do a writing assignment about what they wanted to do when they grew up, and Feingold wanted to be president. You know, you just go on and on through his life, and it's a picture of somebody who is extremely driven and extremely focused on someday he was going to do this. And in eighth grade, he ran for student council president, lost, ran for vice president, lost, secretary treasurer, lost. Stuck with it, and by got to know people. By next year, he was class president. You know, he
didn't he say, sorry to interject, but didn't he say he got to know people because he got some sort of pity assignment after losing all those elections, and he was selling classroom equipment. He was like selling folders or something, and so everyone met him.
Yeah, I want to say like a vice principal there, maybe one of the administrators at his school said, "Hey, keep your chin up, basically." You can still do this.
And go unload some folders for me.
Sell them for, you know, a nickel or something. And he would introduce himself to everybody.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just go on down the line. Like, he after he graduated from UW-Madison, he was one of a handful of, you know, there's 32 Rhodes Scholars every year who get to that scholarship to go to Oxford. And he was one of them. You know, talking to one of his classmates over there, who's actually Larry Sabato of Sabato's Crystal Ball. They were both in the same class. They got to know each other. Sabato said on the boat going over to Oxford, they kind of hit it off right away because of a mutual love of politics.
Wait, they took a boat to Oxford?
Well, they're in America.
And I'm glad that you interjected that, because I was going to think it too. Wait, how old is Russ Feingold?
Yeah, it's not like it happened 100 years ago and they got on a steamship.
And I listened to it again. I swear he said a sailboat, too.
No way.
It must have been like them like cruising the Thames. And does the river even run through Oxford? I don't know anything about English geography.
We need to fact check this. Clearly, we'll let you know, folks.
Next time I talk to Larry Sabato, I'm going to ask about the boat thing. That's a key detail. But he said Feingold was just—he was driven in a way that other people weren't. He was focused, had it together, knew he was going to be running for office someday, and then he did. Like he basically jumped his place in line to beat out other incumbents for state senate, and he you know beat the odds and won his U.S. Senate seat, and it's basically been all good for Russ Feingold in that path of you know career service in politics was going very well for him until he met Ron Johnson in 2010. And you know, at least in that election, Ron Johnson was kind of like his kryptonite, basically. Like all this stuff that was good before and worked before, Johnson just kept hammering home this career politician message, and it stuck.
Do you think that this cycle, I mean, it being a presidential cycle and that favoring Democrats aside, how do you feel like the political climate favors these two very distinct types of people, the consummate outsider who was riding that wave of anti-establishment fervor in 2010. There's still a lot of anti-establishment anger going on right now. Which one of those messages, you know, the career politician who's like, you know, fighting for a life in public service, how does that weigh against the outsider businessman who's actually now the incumbent in this election cycle?
Right.
I'm sorry. I just have to say, are we talking about Johnson Feingold or are we talking about Trump Clinton? Just
both?
Reflect on what you just said. Career politician versus outsider businessman. It's so interesting to look at the parallels between those two races.
Yeah, but everybody knows who Donald Trump is, and apparently nobody knows who Ron Johnson is.
Donald Trump certainly has that celebrity factor. Yeah.
And do you think Donald Trump can chug a beer as fast as Ron Johnson?
Oh, my gosh.
He's a teetotaler, right?
Trump
doesn't drink?
I think so.
Interesting.
I was hoping you would reaffirm that, that you had also read that. I definitely haven't seen him chug a beer.
Yeah, for those of you who may not have seen, Ron Johnson was just endorsed by the Tavern League of Wisconsin this week and posted a video on his various social media platforms chugging a beer. It's like a 9-second video.
I think he downed the beer in 6 seconds. Because yes. That portion of it could have made it. It could have made it on Vine, the video social media platform that died this week.
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace.
Oh, Vine. Oh, rest in peace, Vine.
I never got around to learning that.
Yeah. I wonder if Ron Johnson's on Snapchat. That would have been a good snap as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't remember how we got to my lofty question.
Back
guys.
To the beer chugging question.
How do you think the political climate compares to 2010 in terms of you know, chances for anti-establishment candidates versus career politician public servants?
Well, I mean, and on a generic level, people still don't like politicians. That hasn't changed. It may have even gotten worse. People don't like journalists either, by the way. But definitely,
God, we're the worst.
That is true. On a generic level, that throw the bombs out attitude kind of exists out there. But you look at the people themselves, and Barack Obama, who's not on the ticket this time, but he is the sitting president. He is a Democrat, and his popularity is as high as it's ever been right now. So it's definitely different than 2010. And then if you just look at Feingold versus Johnson, and their favorability ratings as candidates, Feingold is, you know, doing better than Johnson in terms of the way people view him. So I definitely think it's people still want to get rid of politicians generically, but when they sit down and identify who's on the ballot, it's not as bad a situation for Russ Feingold now as it was in 2010.
All right, Sean. Well, I hope that talking through some of these issues will help you get a better night's sleep. Sean Johnson, of course, when he's not stress dreaming, is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd. Just snort laughed into his coffee.
Yep.
Nerd.
And if you're having stress dreams about not having enough podcast episodes, you can find more on iTunes, where you can rate and review the show. We're on Google Play and a bunch of other pod-catching apps. And of course, as always, at WPR.org/politics.